You to turn in, turn to the book of Luke. Luke, chapter 2, verse 41. And if you have YouVersion, you can click on there. All the notes are on YouVersion today as well. Luke 2:41. I'm going to read 9 verses to you this morning as we begin. This is what it says. It says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year, the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among the relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now it was so that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, now listen to this, he said, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Okay, today, the title of the message is Heaven Agendas. Heaven Agendas. Last week, the title was Heaven Fixation. This week, Heaven Agendas. I want to point out two things from this passage this morning. And I'm going to share these two things with you briefly today. The first thing is this, at 12 years old, Jesus was so focused on the Father's business that he remained behind while his family began the journey back home. He spent over 3 full days taking care of the Father's business before his earthly parents would find him. The second thing I want to point out to you today and just share with you and talk about is the fact that Jesus said, "My Father's business," denotes that there is business that is not the Father's. There's things that we can be doing that are not the Father's business. That's right, the enemy has business for us to do as well. The enemy will try to deceive us into doing his business. And don't think for a moment that you will easily recognize the enemy's business. Because I can tell you that we can get busy doing a lot of things in this world and they have nothing to do with heaven. So let me start with the second point and then I'll get back to the first point. The Word of God clearly tells us that Satan disguises himself as the angel of light. He will disguise himself as an angel of light. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul is warning the church that they have allowed people who claim to be apostles of Jesus to deceive them and manipulate them. He warns us about this, and I'm going to read a scripture to you in just a moment from 2 Corinthians 11, but we need to understand that he's first talking about these apostles of Jesus, these people who claim to be apostles of Jesus, who are actually serving not the Father's business, but the enemy's business. In fact, he says this in the scripture. He says, "You happily put up with anything they tell you." You happily put up with anything they tell you. He could have just said you put up with anything they tell you, but he says you happily put up with anything they tell you. You're excited to do what they tell you. You're excited to listen to what they tell you. You happily put up with anything they tell you. Even if it doesn't match up with the truth, the word that you know to be true, you're putting up with it. And you may say, "Well, I know when someone is a false prophet or a false apostle. I know it. I'll know it in my spirit. I'll know it. I'll recognize them immediately if I see a false apostle." The truth is, most in the church won't. This is true. If you listen to the Word of God, if you read this and know this, the truth is Jesus said that many will be deceived in the last days. Even the elect, if it were possible. The elect are the ones who know the Word inside and out. Even those who know every bit of this Word could be deceived if it were possible. So he's saying that many can be deceived. Why do you think that Jesus said to be alert, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? Don't you understand, and don't we understand, that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah? So if the enemy is going to disguise himself as an angel of light, he's going to prowl around like a lion. Because the enemy wants to mimic or copy or counterfeit everything that Jesus does. But he does it for his business, which is evil, instead of heaven's business, which is good. And so you may say, well, I would know this. I would know if someone was a false apostle. But most of the time, the church won't know it. Because statistics say that the average Christian prays for 2 minutes a day. This is people who claim to be followers of Jesus. Pray for 2 minutes a day of uninterrupted, private time, quiet time with the Lord. I'm not talking about, on your way to work or, that time. I'm talking about getting down, in a quiet place. The Bible calls it your prayer closet. Getting to a place where there's no interruptions. I'm talking about shutting this thing off. Okay? Not just putting it on silent. Come on, y'all. Y'all have been like me before. You put it on silent, put it in your pocket, and then it buzzes, and you pull it out in the middle of prayer, right? The average Christian prays for 2 minutes a day. The statistics tell us right now that the average pastor prays 5 minutes a day. So if the leaders of our churches are spending 5 minutes in prayer, and our followers of Jesus, the sheep that God's entrusted to those leaders, are spending 2 minutes a day in prayer, how do we think we're going to recognize a false apostle or the enemy when he comes as an angel of light? That's why Jesus would say things like this. He would say, my sheep know my voice and follow me. Or he said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Obviously, I've said this before to you, and I'm going to say it again. That word know is the Greek word gnosko, which means intimately, as in marriage, intimately. You will know the truth intimately, and that truth that you know intimately will set you free. So you actually have to have a grip on Jesus. You have to have a firm grip on the way, the truth, and the life. Otherwise, you're going to be deceived by the counterfeit. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 11. This is what Paul said. He said, these people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I'm not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. So if Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, don't you know that he will also disguise his business as light? If he disguises himself as an angel of light, he's going to disguise his business as light as well. He'll try to get you to believe that what he's presenting to you is good. He'll try to get you to believe that not only is it good, but it's noble. It's the right thing to do. Let me stop and say this. He knows that you're a follower of Jesus. He knows that you proclaim to be righteous. He knows that you're a follower of holiness. He knows that you want to follow the word of God with all of your heart. So you don't think for a moment that he's going to come at you from an angle that is so abrupt. He's not going to come at you with this wicked sin and immediately slap you in the face with it, because it would be too obvious to you that that was from the enemy. He's not going to bring an agenda to you that looks like that. Instead, he's going to slip in with a sly and sneaky agenda that looks noble and right and true and pure. He wants to deceive you into thinking that's God's business, when all along it's the enemy's business. He has an agenda. The devil has an agenda. It's written in John 10:10. Jesus said it. Jesus said the thief's purpose, the thief's agenda, is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose, my agenda, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. This is why it's so important
to have a heaven fixation. This is why it's so important to be seated in heavenly places with Jesus. You have to be up here where he is. Oh, I'm going to do it again. Ooh, that's scary. You have to be seated in heavenly places with Christ. You have to have a heaven fixation. You have to look at things from his perspective and his point of view. If you're not seated in heavenly places with him, then, and you don't have this type of viewpoint, then you're going to see things from an earthly perspective. And if you see things from an earthly perspective, then you're going to easily fall for earthly satanic agendas. If your mind is constantly on the things of heaven, if you are constantly fixated on the things of heaven, which are in this word, if you're constantly consumed with the things of heaven and the things of this word, then your heart is going to be humble and moldable and teachable. You're going to have a teachable spirit. You're going to be like Jesus. Jesus, even though he was all God and he had all power and authority while he walked on this earth, he was the most humble and teachable on this earth. Amen? How many believe Jesus was the most humble man that ever walked the earth? I agree. But he had more right or ability to stand above everybody because he was God. He is God. He had more right than any of us. I mean, we sometimes get so full of ourselves because we reach a certain place in life, maybe even Christians, we get so full of ourselves because maybe we know this word. We've been serving the Lord a certain amount of time and we know this word and we've been in church and we get so, don't you understand that that's a scheme of the enemy? That's pride. He wants to slip in with pride, but we take it as, maturity. I'm mature in Christ. And the enemy will slip in into that feeling that we might have of maturity, and he'll slip in and try to twist it and turn it into pride. And what happens is, all of a sudden, we start standing there and saying things like this: man, I know the word of God, and I won't fall for the trap of the enemy, and I won't fall for the schemes, because I am a child of God, and I know the word, and I this, and I that. And don't you understand it was the five eyes that got Satan cast out of heaven? Jesus never walked around and boasted like that. Jesus just walked in humility and just did the things that God told him to do. I don't want to get too far off track here because I'm going to a point. But here's the thing. If we are so fixed on the things of earth, we will allow pride and selfish ambition to enter our hearts, and then we'll mistake satanic agendas for heavenly agendas. It's true. And if you think, well, that will never happen to me, let me show you something. Because, see, many people even reject a heavenly agenda because they are so fixed on earthly things. Let me say that again. Many people will even reject a heavenly agenda that God's trying to give them because they're so fixed on earthly things. Let me show it to you in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 21. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders and the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. Now stop right there. Don't go to the next screen. So what is this? What's Jesus doing? He's telling the disciples the heavenly agenda, the agenda that's been passed down from heaven, from the throne of God to him. Jesus said this in the word. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only go where the Father tells me to go. So he's telling the disciples, God the Father passed this agenda down, and this is what's going to happen. This is a heavenly agenda. Now watch. Next scripture, verse 22. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Now watch what Peter says. Heaven forbid, Lord. Heaven forbid, Lord. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said. This will never happen to you. Peter is saying, heaven forbid. Peter takes Jesus, the Son of God, aside after he gives him the heavenly agenda and reprimands him and tells him, heaven forbid this. See, Peter didn't even understand. He didn't even know. This is Peter I'm talking about. Anybody think that they've reached the spiritual level that Peter reached? I mean, this is Peter. I know at this time in his life, you probably say, well, this time in his life, he needed to learn a few things. See, that's pride right there. Peter says this to him, but look what the Lord says. Look what Jesus says, verse 23. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. Listen, for you are what? Seeing things. Everybody say seeing things. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Do you see what the Lord did here? He said, listen, this is the heavenly agenda that's about to take place, that I'm about to walk out on earth. This is what I'm about to do because the Lord told me to do this. Peter, a follower, an apostle, a disciple at this time, he pulls him aside, reprimands him, says, heaven forbid that can't happen. And Jesus turns around and says, get away from me, Satan, for you are a dangerous trap to me, for you're seeing things only from a human point of view. In other words, you're seeing things from earthly perspective. Here is Jesus seeing things from this perspective, passing down the heavenly agenda, and here is Peter seeing things from this perspective, reprimanding the Lord. I'm telling you that the enemy has agendas for us, and if he can get us to believe those agendas, that they're noble and right and true, that even the church will turn on each other. Well, come on, y'all. Y'all aren't even listening to me today. I said even the church will turn on each other and start reprimanding each other and start calling each other out and start judging each other and start doing all of these things because we think we got a heavenly agenda when all the while it's a satanic agenda. And it's destroying the church today. Because Jesus has another agenda. You know where I'm going, don't you? He has another agenda. He said in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Come on, y'all. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams and your old men will see visions. Come on, how many want their children to prophesy? How many want their children to dream dreams? How many want their parents to see visions? How many want the Lord to break out in revival in their homes? See, the enemy has an agenda to stop the agenda of heaven and get us to believe in another satanic agenda that will get the church to turn on each other and destroy one another. But we need to stand up with the word of God and say, I see that agenda, enemy, and you're a dangerous trap to me, and I do not receive it. Get behind me, Satan. I refuse to see things from an earthly perspective. I'm going to climb up here with Jesus and only see things from a heavenly perspective. See, Jesus went on to say this in verse 24. He said, then Jesus said to his disciples, look, he said, because he just called out Peter. Actually, he called out Satan, but he wanted Peter to see what he was doing. How many of you believe that Peter, boy, this really stuck with him, and he started learning real quick the difference between a heaven agenda and an earthly agenda? Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You know what he's saying? You need to get rid of that pride. You need to get all that earthly pride out of you. Get it out. You must take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will find it. See, Peter was thinking, well, I don't know what Peter was thinking. I really don't. None of us really do. But maybe Peter was thinking something like this. Maybe Peter was thinking, because I don't know how the enemy deceived him. Right? The Bible really doesn't tell us what deception the enemy used to get him to believe this earthly agenda. But I know at the time that the Jews were expecting the Messiah to come back riding on a white horse with a sword in his hand and swoop in and slay the Roman Empire and all their oppressors and put them under his feet. That's what they were expecting to happen. So I would probably assume that Peter was expecting that type of agenda. Okay? Now, here's the thing. If you read the Word of God, you could easily understand why that agenda might look appealing. How many with me? How many just want Jesus to swoop in sometimes and just kill some people? Anybody besides me? Oh, wait, did that come out of my mouth? Oh, sorry. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we have, but that's an earthly agenda, right? Because the kingdom of heaven is not about destroying people, it's about saving them. Oh, I'm going to say it again. I said the kingdom of heaven is not about destroying people, it's about saving them. The kingdom of heaven is not about putting its foot on people and crushing them under its feet. The kingdom of heaven is about getting down in the dirt and lifting them up. And so if you see an agenda, here's one way to tell. If you see an agenda out there that's about hurting people or destroying people or taking vengeance against people or any of that type of stuff, that's not a heavenly agenda. That's an earthly agenda. It's satanic. But the enemy will disguise it as something noble. And if you've been living with that earthly vision long enough, if you've been sitting in that long enough, you're going to be easily sucked into thinking that's noble and that's pure and that's right. That's what we should do. Call out that sin and call out that sin and call, and you need to get right. These agendas from the enemy will destroy everything and anything in their path. That's what they're designed to do. That's his mission. Now let's go back to point number one. Point number one was at 12 years old, Jesus was so focused on the Father's business that he remained behind while his family took off back home. I've said this before, but isn't it amazing to you that, like, Jesus, 12 years old, stays behind? I mean, I don't understand that. I really don't. Maybe it was a different culture, a different whatever then. Maybe they had a large group or something like that. But how do you let your 12-year-old stay behind for 3 days? How do you go a whole day? I mean, not just three. How do you go a whole day when you don't notice he's missing? You know what I'm saying? Did anybody ever go to Florida, to Disney World or anything like that? You know, and you leave Disney World, come back home. Did you ever leave Disney World and one kid wasn't in the car? And you got all the way back to Michigan and you're like, hey, what happened to Joe? But they did. And they got back to Jerusalem, and 3 days later they find him, and Jesus says, I had to be about my Father's business. What? Why were you so worried? Oh, this is so good. I hope you already know in your spirit where we're going with this. Jesus is like, why were you so worried? I had to be about my Father's business. And then the next thing we read in the Word of God after this is we see Jesus being led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. So after 12 years old, we don't hear anything about Jesus until he starts his ministry, basically. And we see that he's being led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, the first two temptations, the devil said this to him. He said, if you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off this temple. That's the first two things he said to him. He was calling into question his identity. He was tempting Jesus with pride. Think about that. If the enemy was going to tempt Jesus, if he's going to call Jesus into question, his identity into question, he's going to tempt him with pride, what makes you think he's not going to do the same to you? There are some people there that think that the enemy is not going to do that to them. If he did it to Jesus, he's going to do it. Some people think they're so secure in their identity with Christ, and they're so humble that the enemy won't attack them with that. If he did it to Jesus, he'll do it to you. So you need to be alert and aware. You need to be alert. The first line of defense is to be alert, to be aware of your enemy and what his schemes are and how he'll operate. And that's how he operates. He'll come in first with questioning your identity and trying to get you sucked into pride. Here's how he does it. See, because if it were many of us and he would have done that to us and we had the authority and the power that Jesus had, we'd have said, turn these stones into bread. I'll turn you into bread and I'm going to eat you. You know it's true. Some of you are already thinking it. Poof. Warm French bread. My enemy be no more. Or we'd have been like, jump off the temple. That's not even a challenge. I'm going to take you to this mountain over here, and I'm going to jump off of it. And on my way down, I'm going to create a big trampoline down there, and I'm going to eat a sandwich on the way down. And then I'm going to hit that, come up and do a flip, punch you in the face, and then go back down again. Right? Right? You know you would. You'd be like, oh, enemy, you don't even know who you're messing with right now. I am who I told you I am, and I can do what I told you I can do, so let me show you. Whew, come on, y'all aren't getting this. This is pride. That's pride. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. He wanted Jesus to be triggered by him. He wanted Jesus to react to what he was saying, but Jesus didn't react. He responded. There's a difference between reacting and responding. Jesus didn't react and go, poof, bread. He didn't react and jump off the temple and bounce back up. No, he responded with the word of God. Now, look at the third temptation. The devil took a different approach. The third temptation, he showed him a mountain. And he took him to this mountain. And he showed him the kingdoms of the world. He took him up to this high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world like Jesus hadn't seen it before. And he says this to him. He shows him the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And then he says this. He says, it's all yours if you'll just bow down and worship me. Now, if you don't understand what's taking place here, some of you would go like, that's not even a temptation. Because it was all his anyway. He created it all, right? So you might think, well, that's not a temptation. He created everything. How could that be a temptation? But see, what you don't understand is Jesus knew full well what the agenda of heaven was. He was carrying the weight of that agenda. Oh, man, I hope you hear me this morning. He was carrying the weight of that agenda. Sometimes we run from the agenda of heaven because of the weight of the agenda. I can tell you from personal experience, I've felt that weight lately. I'm just going to get personal for a moment. I've felt that weight lately. Father, I know you called me here. I know you told me to stay. I know you told me not to run, but I feel the weight of this. And there's a part of you. There's a part of you that just wants to run because the weight, and Jesus fully knew the weight of the agenda that was ahead of him. For in less than 3.5 years, he was going to give his life on a cross for all of us. And he knew that was coming, and he knew the pain because he created us and he created everything, and he knew what the pain would be like. And even under the weight of that agenda, he still rebuked the enemy. But see, for us, sometimes the weight becomes heavy. And instead of rebuking the enemy, we look at the out he gives us. We look at that out, because that's what he was doing here with Jesus. He was giving him an out. He's saying, look, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms and all their glory. You can have it all. He was basically trying to get him to betray Father God. He does the same thing with us today. He hasn't changed his tactics. He does the same thing with you today. He's trying to get you to betray Father God and follow his agenda. But Jesus didn't even flinch. His response was this. Should be our response. Get out of here, Satan. I love that. He's about to quote the word, just like he did the first two times. The third time he's going to quote it. But this time he says, get out of here, Satan. For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, again, Jesus knew the heavenly agenda. He wasn't going to get off course. He was going to stick on course. And you need to understand that the devil will do everything in his power to get you to replace heaven agendas with earthly agendas. He'll attack your identity. He'll come at you with, you aren't really who you think you are. You aren't really a follower of Jesus. You aren't, you know what, you think you got all these other people fooled, but you don't have me fooled. Anybody ever have the enemy say that to you before? Yeah? You're not who you think you are. And if you allow him to speak those lies to you, you'll be easily manipulated. He will also say this kind of thing. This is another thing he'll do. He'll attack you with this. He'll say, if you are really a Christian, you would take a stand against that sin. If you're really a Christian, you would take a stand against them and you would condemn them for the sin that they're living in. He'll try to manipulate you into believing his satanic agenda because it looks noble. Come on, y'all. I mean, we know that the Bible tells us to love God and hate sin, right? We're supposed to hate sin. We're supposed to hate sin. How many of you know we're supposed to hate sin? We are supposed, it's in the scripture. It's not a trick question, okay? We're supposed to hate sin, but how many of you know we're not supposed to hate the sinner? Hate sin, not the sinner. Don't hate the person. But the enemy will try to get you sucked into his agenda by making it sound noble and pure. And then once he gets you sucked into it, because of the pride that's in your heart, he will twist it. And he'll get you to go after those people instead of after that sin. It's his purpose to destroy. It's his purpose to get us to be judgmental and pious. It's his purpose to get us to be condemning and legalistic and hurtful. It's his purpose. See, the enemy will twist the word of God and use it against you to manipulate you into believing his agenda. That's exactly what he did with Jesus. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off this temple, for the word of the Lord says, or the scriptures say, that he won't let you dash your foot on the rock. The angels will catch you and hold you up. If you are the Son of God, this is a noble thing to do. Use the very scripture against the very one who spoke it. The second thing he'll do is attack your desires. He'll say things like, I know you want all these things and I can give you a shortcut to get them. He won't say it like that, but he'll try to deceive you into believing his shortcut is better. See, our lives can be full of agendas that are not heaven agendas. We can get so easily sidetracked by agendas from the enemy, and they look harmless, they even look right, but it's not from heaven, they only lead to destruction. So if we are so busy fulfilling these other agendas, these earthly agendas, if we're so busy with all these earthly agendas, here's another thing I need to mention, and then I'm going to close this thing out. The enemy will try to get us to believe agendas that are frivolous and waste our time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Agendas that are frivolous and waste our time. He'll say things like, you deserve to have this. You deserve to get away. You deserve to have a break. You deserve, you know what, you just need to get away from it all. You just need to take your family and get away. I'm not knocking vacations or time away or all of those type of things, but lately we seem to be living in a generation, in a culture that is more and more entertainment oriented. Right? We deserve it. Do you know when the stimulus checks came out back in COVID, when all that was going on? Do you know that certain things happen, but like the entertainment industry, in particular, like boats, RVs, ATVs, and ORVs, all of those just started flying off the shelves. Like, they couldn't make them fast enough. I know, because I went down to just a shop right down the road here from us, Graves Performance, and I was talking to them about it, because, you know, one day I went by and they had a whole lot full of ATVs and ORVs and all these type of things, and then the stimulus checks came out and I went by and they were gone. And then for months they were gone, and I went in, and this is what one of the salesmen told me: we have a 1-year waiting list for them because so many people are ordering them right now. Now, there's nothing wrong with having one. I have ATVs myself and they're awesome. I love them. But the thing is that what the enemy will do is he'll tell us that we deserve these things and we should have these things and we should entertain ourselves. Well, again, entertainment, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that is an agenda that keeps you away from the agendas of heaven, then it is wrong. Does that make sense? If you're going to put that before what the Lord is telling you to do, what the agenda he's giving you. See, sometimes the heavenly agendas, most of the time, the heavenly agendas will interrupt our lives. 12 years ago, the Lord clearly spoke to that beautiful lady over there and me and told us to move here to Michigan. That agenda from heaven, and we knew it was from heaven, interrupted our lives. We had lived 10 years in the place we were at. Our kids had basically been raised there for a good portion, all their teenage years. And it was one of the most difficult moves we've ever made because we were very comfortable where we were. Comfort can be the enemy of heaven agendas. And we waffled. We went back and forth for a little bit there. More me than her. She was like, let's go. I'm like, I don't know about that. I mean, I was born and raised in Michigan, but I don't know. I can play golf year-round here in Louisiana. Give up shorts on New Year's Day, I don't know about that. But we did. And what I'm saying to you is that we can allow these earthly agendas to sidetrack us. We don't see the heavenly agendas that God is trying to pass down to us. Someone once said this. They said, if we're not careful, we can schedule ourselves busy doing about everything except the Father's business. And as we are busy having a good time, people are living a Christless life, dying a Christless death, resulting in a Christless eternity. That will grip you, huh? We can get so busy about our own busyness, that the earthly agendas that the enemy presents to us. And I don't want this to be a message where you're like, man, just feeling condemnation. I want you to feel the sweet conviction of Holy Spirit today. Because if we're going to truly be the last days church that's going to rise up and see the glory of God and revival come to this land, then we're going to have to be all about heaven's agendas, right? Yes. Our lives are going to have to be consumed with the things of heaven. Jesus knew exactly what he was getting himself into when he came to this earth to fulfill the Father's agenda. He knew exactly what he was getting himself into. It was his agenda too. So do we really understand what we were getting ourselves into when we agreed to follow Jesus? Do we really understand the commitment we were making to follow heaven's agenda? When we said, Jesus, I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. I'll give you everything. Jesus got so busy about the Father's business from a young age, and he never lost sight of it. From 12 to about 30, we didn't hear a thing about Jesus in the Word. But we know that he didn't lose sight. Because at 12 years old, after his family left, he's about the Father's business in Jerusalem. And when we see him come on the scene again at 30 years old, he's about the Father's business, and the enemy couldn't sidetrack him. So isn't that what we agreed to sign up for? Isn't that what we said we're signing up? How many of you agreed to that? How many said, Jesus, I'll give you everything? I'll give you everything. I mean, isn't that the contract basically we sign, right? Jesus said, I give my life for you, and we say, I give mine back to you. Right? Didn't we agree to give everything? Look at Luke chapter 14. I'm going to close with this scripture. Luke 14, verse 25. A large crowd was following Jesus, and he turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. How many of you think that's a pretty strong word? Like, that's pretty strong, isn't it? If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else. Well, let me explain the word hate. The word hate is actually the Greek word miseo, and it means to love less or esteem less. So it's still difficult. It means we got to put Jesus above everything else. So it doesn't mean you turn your back on your family and your loved ones. What it means is that Jesus comes before them. That's how serious this commitment is. Jesus comes before everything. Jesus before everything. Before your spouse, before your children, before your parents, Jesus first. Then he says in verse 27, if you don't carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's that person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Man, I could preach a whole nother message on that passage right there. Because there have been so many followers or Christians who made an agreement to follow Jesus, and then when the enemy came with his agendas and the going got tough, they couldn't finish the race because they didn't calculate the cost. Now, as a pastor, I've put that on the church because I feel like we have let people down by making this decision to follow Jesus sound so easy. But it's not an easy road. Jesus himself said, broad is the road and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but narrow the road and narrow the gate that leads to eternal life, and only a few find it. It's a hard path. It's a narrow path. It's a difficult path. But it will all be worth it if you just stick to heaven's agendas. It'll be worth it. We're going to see so many wonderful things in the coming weeks and months at this church. I just want you to know that. I'm declaring it with all of my heart. We're going to see it. We're going to see the kingdom come like we've never seen before. I know you could feel it today. I know you could feel heaven coming down in this place today. We're going to see it. We're going to see something that I'm going to mention like I did a couple weeks ago. Was it last week? I don't even remember. But Norm Fredenborough again. I got to mention him again. Because about 6-8 months before he went to heaven, he said to me that he had a dream vision of this place, this building, and he saw the front of this building just piled up with wheelchairs. And people were bringing their wheelchairs in. Tim, I believe with all my heart, they're bringing their wheelchairs in and leaving them at the altar and walking out of this place completely healed. And I know that he was not a man to just say things and make statements like that. And I believe with all my heart, And I believe he will see it. In fact, one of the last things I said to Norm the last time I met with him is, Norm, you're going to see it, whether here on earth or in heaven, you're going to see it happen. So I believe God's going to do great things here. But we have to be fixated on heaven and only follow heaven agendas. Okay? I'm going to skip the rest of that scripture, and I want to go to this and say this to you as we're going to close in prayer. Heaven agendas will never betray these nine things, okay? And I didn't put these in the notes. They don't have them back there. It's not even on YouVersion, I don't think. But you know them. You know them well. But heaven agendas will never betray these nine things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You want to know the difference between an earthly agenda and a heaven agenda? You want to know the difference between a satanic agenda and a heaven agenda? Just take a look at those things. Look at the agenda and say, does it fulfill these nine things? Is it going to accomplish these nine things? Will there be love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in this agenda? If those nine things are there, it's a heaven agenda. If they're not, it's from the enemy. If you are tempted to follow an agenda that does not match up to those nine things, to the Word of God, run. Run away from it as fast as you can run. Get away from it. Open your mouth and say, get away from me, Satan. Get away from me, for you're a dangerous trap to me. And there'll be people, even in the church, even in your own family, that will try to get you to follow earthly agendas. Try to get you to believe in them. You're just going to have to trust the Word of God. Not my word. Trust His word. Read it for yourself. Find out how Jesus handled those agendas that He was fulfilling for the kingdom of God. So I want to pray with you this morning. Just bow your heads. I'm just going to pray for everybody. I feel we all need to take a new fix on heaven and a new fix on God's agendas for our lives. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for every person in this place or watching this broadcast. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would speak to our hearts. Father, remove everything that does not belong to you. Father, remove every agenda that we have received that has come from the enemy. But Father, I pray that you give us strength, that no matter how painful it is to walk away from these agendas, Lord, that we would have the strength to do it. Father, I pray that you would give us the strength and the courage and the ability to fulfill your agenda for our lives. Whatever you tell us to do, wherever you tell us to go, however difficult it may be, Father, give us the strength to walk it out with honor and integrity, all for your glory, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.